The second lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, a book that we don't read from often. It's a great book, has a tremendous insight in it. Some of the most memorable verses of Scripture come from the book of Hebrews. It's all the way back in the back of the Bible. And, you know, so turn to the back of the Bible, turn to Revelation and start going forward, and you'll find the book of Hebrews, or you can actually look for the page number in the bulletin. I'm not sure. I always think maybe we shouldn't give those page numbers. Maybe we should force you to learn where these books are. But that probably would be rude, so we gave you the page number. This is one of the more memorable passages from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 12, to the end of the chapter. I invite you to follow along in your pew Bible or simply listen for the word of God as I read these words. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides the soul from the spirit, from joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested, as are we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Got home from a meeting on Tuesday night, and is my custom after meetings, got a snack, and I had recorded the PBS NewsHour, so I was listening to the NewsHour, and was just about to doze off. I was listening to the NewsHour when they started talking about neutrinos. Do you know what neutrinos are? They started talking about neutrinos, and I kept getting in my head Cheerios, right? Because I was hungry. It turns out that the Nobel Prize for Physics was just given to two scientists who have been researching neutrinos. And that what they found out was that neutrinos have mass and they have flavor. Now, this is what really caught my attention, because typically I don't listen too much to Nobel Peace Prizes for physics. It's normally about things that are way, way out there, black holes that are sucking everything into it. And while that's a very interesting kind of an idea, it doesn't have much to do with my life, or it now, at present, doesn't have much. So when Judy Woodruff, who was reporting this, said that these neutrinos are hundreds of thousands of neutrinos are passing through our bodies every second, it got my attention. And the fact that they were flavored, right? Turns out there are three flavors of neutrinos. Cherry, no, I'm just kidding. They're not. Although, I mean, when I first heard they were flavored, I thought they must be chocolate, right? If they're going through my body, because I have this tremendous urge for chocolate all of the time. No, that's not what physicists mean by flavors. It means that they oscillate. They change identity and interaction with other particles. As they pass through, they change things. It's a fascinating notion. And they go at the speed of light, in case you're wondering, and try to catch any of them going through your bodies. You can't. They just slip right through. So there you have it. Things going right through you right now, and you didn't even know that, did you? Huh? Kind of a fascinating idea. And they have flavors, which is even more fascinating. They're distinctive. They're distinctive. They changed in three different ways. You know, when I heard that, I thought, you know, this is a fascinating analogy, a model, a metaphor for our morning scripture lessons and the interaction of the two. So bear with me, because as you listen to the first lesson from Mark and the rich man to whom Jesus gave the directive, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, not one of our most fun sayings from scripture, is it? And then the scripture lesson I just gave to you from Hebrews, that the Word of God is a like a two-edged sword that cuts through. It cuts through moral. It goes to the heart. There's a correspondence between those two things that I think neutrinos can help us with, that get flavored distinctively, distinctive flavor for each individual. An interesting idea. Let's go to Hebrews first. First of all, when it says the Word of God, it's not necessarily conflating that with Scripture, although Scripture could be involved. It's a much broader notion that the book of Hebrews has in mind. It's like the prophetic word. It's like the prophetic word. It's the word of the Spirit that comes to all of us at every moment of our lives. And I mean, if we take the analogy of neutrinos, they're coming into us all the time. It's always seeking us out, seeking to penetrate. It's an interesting image that the book of Hebrews uses, this two-edged sword, really more like a scalpel that cuts through and separating marrow from bone. It goes to the heart and judges the intentions of the heart. Not the most comforting idea, is it? Think about it for a moment. Very much akin to Psalm 139, where the psalmist says, "Oh God, you search me and know me. You know my thoughts from far away. Before they are even on my tongue, you know them completely." You know, we always read that passage of Scripture, or we often read them as words of comfort and a memorial service, but a moment's thought of that should not give us any comfort. Knowing all of our thoughts before they're even expressed, oh my Lord. And then think about the second lesson, which things don't get better. You get to the second lesson. This man comes to Jesus, and he is obviously a very devout man, a very religious man. And he is asking Jesus about eternal life. What must I do to attain eternal life? And Jesus begins to repeat the commandments, and this man has been devout all of his life and says, "I have observed these commandments from my youth." And then Jesus looked at him, and Mark tells us that Jesus loved him and then said to him, "One thing you lack. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." Wow. This is one of the so-called hard sayings of Jesus. You know, there are books on this. you can get them. There are interesting books. This would be included in one of those books on the hard sayings of Jesus. And Mark even acknowledges the difficulty of it, because the disciples themselves then say, "Well, Lord, who can be saved?" Right? Not many rich people or middle-class Americans, for that matter. Right? It's a puzzling text, a hard text, difficult text. So as I was pondering the neutrinos and these two texts, what occurred to me was a notable Buddhist principle, a principle of conversation with others. What Buddha told his disciples is this: on the one hand, you should hold to the essential teachings of Buddhism, while at the same time, as you address a particular individual, address their specific needs in their specific circumstance. My teacher of theology said it well, and he said almost the same thing when he says, all theology must have integrity, that is, integrity to the essence, the truth of the tradition, but also intelligibility. It must make sense of a particular circumstance. Well, don't you see, this is like a flavored neutrino, right? It's distinctive. It has a distinctive identity given to you in your particular circumstance. It was a distinctive identity given to the rich man in his circumstance, and the Word of God is penetrating each and every one of our hearts with that same distinctive identity, going after the obstacles in our lives to God's love. And we know that God comes to us with love because Mark tells us as much. Jesus loved him before he gives the directive. It is out of love that any directive is given. It is out of love that the two-edged sword comes into our hearts with a specific directive to identify the barrier that is keeping us from that same love. Now, some of you might be saying at this point, well, you've just copped out of that verse. You've been in applying it to all of us, right? Yeah, well, maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, but not really. If it is your issue, possessions, as it is for most of us, then sell them and give it to the poor. But I can well imagine somebody selling all their possessions and still not overcoming the huge obstacle in their heart. That's what Jesus is going after. The issue of getting of the camel going through an eye of a needle is that great obstacle to the love of God that is seeking us out in every moment of our life. That love that is that obstacle that is keeping us from that barrier to experiencing that love in our lives and then expressing it to others in terms of justice, in terms of peace. This is the specifics of the sword of the Spirit that is coming into our hearts and the specifics of the heart. Now, I don't know what that is for you. I can't identify that, but and it could be that you are having a hard time specifically getting at that. Confusion reigns for all of us when we're talking about the obstacles to a love that wants to hold us in being, to a love that wants us to live the full and abundant life. Humans are plagued with those kinds of obstacles, and discerning them is not easy. So please let me go again to a couple of Buddhist teachings that might help with this. The first one is this, and that is, if there is a jewel in the garbage can, then get your hands dirty. Okay? And the second one is this, don't ever separate the garbage from the flowers. Any good organic gardener knows that, right? Because flowers, the most vibrant fruit, vegetables, come from garbage that's put into the soil, that enriches the soil, that makes it potent for producing the greatest fruit. So what I take from those two teachings is this. We've got to get our hands dirty. We've got to go into our stuff to discern that which is keeping us from God and the fullness thereof. We've got to go into the garbage of our lives, whatever that may be. It's not an easy thing to do because we like to, I hate to say this, but we like to hold on to a lot of that garbage. We really do like to hold on to it and to go into it. And then to hoe it in to our lives and seek God's will, to seek God's discernment of that which we need to let go of to experience the fullness of the love that God wants for us all. And this one thing we can be sure of. And Psalm 133 says it, and in essence, the book of Hebrews says it about the two-edged sword, and in essence, this story from Mark says the same thing. Theologians and poets alike have talked about God as the hound of heaven. The hound of heaven, that is a love that is seeking after us in every moment of our life. And it is that love that is the most essential element of existence. More essential than the subatomic things that we think are the most common elements of life. It is the most essential thing in life itself. So what is and may be impossible for humans is in fact possible for God. Amen.